We're going to get started. If you could all sit down, please. I want to get going. Let's see. Did you both get one of these? I think I gave. Yes. Does anybody not have the Galatians survey sheet? I know you need one, right? Or maybe you forgot to bring it. You should bring it every week, whether it's filled in or not. I know. You have an excuse. I'm not trying to give you a hard time.
I wasn't here last week either. I got mine.
Yeah, well. You sent me an email. So. Anybody else? Does anybody else need the sheet? That's okay. I'm glad you did your homework. Look, I'm not... This is for your good when we're studying this. It's not, you're not doing it for me, okay? Don't do it for me. This is for you. Look, I'm glad if you read the book of Galatians. That's great. If you can do the homework, just kind of you and God. Because what are you doing here when you're doing this? You're reading the Bible. All you need is a King James Bible and this sheet. You read it, and you put what God shows you. Right? Just you and God. No commentary. I'm not against commentaries, but I want you to get it from God himself on this thing, okay? Let's start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this, okay? So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, so much. I need you, Lord. I need your strength and your wisdom. Help me to teach this, Lord, because I know, Lord, that it's only when your Holy Spirit is working, Lord, that this teaching will be effective, Lord. So use this time. Help us, Lord, to learn how to study your word, to get into the Word of God and let God speak to us, Lord. And I pray for that, Lord, and just pray you'd bless this time. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So let me do something here. I am going to go down here, and I'm going to hit play. Oh, you know, what I didn't do was ask Pastor for his pointer. What's that? Yeah. Yeah. All set? Okay, good. What I've done here is I'm showing you what I did, okay, just to, in case there was any confusion, because it might have been confusing last week. I don't know. Sometimes I don't explain things clearly. So what I like doing is I like printing out the Bible and marking it up. That way I can mark it up any way I want to. I don't have these permanent marks in my Bible that I can't read through and all that type of stuff, right? That's what I do. You know, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. So what I do is I use the Bible program that I was telling you about, right, like eSword. I'll print out that section of the Bible. And in this case, what I'm doing, you notice I've underlined where those I gave you those divisions. If you look at your sheet, you know, you'll notice verses 1 through 5, that was a division. I call it a paragraph, whatever you want to call it, a section, okay? verses 1 through 5, so I put a line there. And then, you know, from 6 to 10, that's the next one, I put a line, right? You see what I did? And then as I'm reading it, what I'll do is, you noticed on mine, I underline grace to you. You know, you might have done something different, and that's fine. As long as you're reading it and God's giving you something. But I thought, gee, that kind of fits that section, grace to you, right? And then the next section, I underline another gospel, because that's what he's talking about. He's talking about another gospel, right? So that was kind of, to me, that was kind of like the theme of that section. That's what hit me. And I'll be interested in, if, you know, whatever God showed you. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But this is what God showed me, right? Yes, I know he's online. I told him about this. He's by the way, I pray for my brother and my sister-in-law. They're getting over COVID. Okay, so he can't preach, right? He's quarantined right now. So he said, oh, I'll watch you. So, brother, if you see me, oh, boy, I'm in trouble. Anyway. anyway, so you see what I did? That's what I did. And you can see the underlining, and that's what I did. And, oh, by the way, let's take the next section there. I actually said, gaps are fine, right? So I took the gospel, not after man. Right? See what that's fine, too. I'm just trying to take little snippets out of the Bible that kind of fit that. So let me ask you, any questions on what I was asking you to do? now that I've shown you this. And if you did a little different, that's fine. As long as you studied the Bible, I'm really happy. Okay? Any questions, concerns? Yes?
Is it time now to talk about what we did?
Yeah, if you've got something, yeah.
Well, the only thing, and I'm not sure if I'm doing it.
That's fine.
I know there's no right or wrong.
Right.
But again, this brain is weird. Anyways, like certain verses, I get Paul does this, Paul does that, get saved, persecuted church, blah, blah, blah. Am I reading it differently?
That's fine. No, you did it a certain way. The way I asked to do it was just take something out of the scripture, right? So you added the word Paul. That's fine, right? Because it's Paul who's doing it. Right, I know. I have no problem with that at all. Because you studied the word.
I did.
That's right. So I'm happy.
It
works fine. So you did good. Let me ask you this, with a raise of hands, and this is not to condemn anyone, I just want to get a feeling. I think a lot of people did this, which is really a blessing. How many at least did some of this, you know, did what you could, right? Did what you could. Amen. That's a real blessing. Put your hands down. It's not too late, right? We're going to have another, this week and 4 more weeks. So keep working on it, okay? Now you see what I'm asking you to do? Now let me show you what the next step is going to be. Okay, some of you have actually finished it, right? And maybe you haven't, but if you have, let's go to the next step. I'll show you. In fact, I'll show you what I did. Let's see if I can find it. Ah, there we go. Okay. So here's my complete sheet, okay? Don't start writing things down. Okay, so this maybe explains. This is kind of a bottom up, right? So you're studying these passages, getting something from God from each one of these passages. The next step after you've done that is it's called segment titles. Think of it like an outline, right? Essentially, what you're doing is you're outlining the book of Galatians, starting from the bottom. God gives you stuff, and then you kind of move your way up, right? So, for example, I took, notice the black line, the heavy black line, they're there for a reason. It's there to essentially help you see the divisions that I'm trying to get you to do. You may say, oh, I would divide it differently. That's okay. I've got to do something here, right? So I'm using these divisions. You're free on your own to do your own divisions. That's fine. But anyway, so the first section, I said, well, that's kind of like the introduction. So there you can use whatever words you want to, right? It's you're summarizing what's going on, right? The next section, you see what I have there. I've got gospel, not after man, persecuted the church, revealed his son in me, went up to Jerusalem, glorified God in me. That I called the gospels from God. I mean, you could put a lot of things in there, right? But that's how I summarized it. Okay? Do you see how that's going? So if you've done the first column or the paragraph titles column, you might want to work on the next section and put in your own words what you want to summarize that as. Essentially, make your own outline. So you're making an outline of the book as you do this. That makes sense? Okay. And then that final section we'll talk about next week. But it's kind of obvious. It's kind of like a real top-level grouping. And there'll be a lot of variation there, how you want to word it. But okay, so you're doing good. If you're studying Galatians, I'm happy. Okay? I'm thrilled. However you do it. Yes?
I just have a question. When I'm looking at Philippians and I'm doing this on my own, how do you compartmentalize this? Do you look at the individual verses, then do the segment, and then you get the gist of it?
There's lots of ways of doing it. So there's two ways of doing it, right? Top down, bottom up, right? This is a bottom up system. So you could read the whole thing and then kind of get the big picture and then try to work your way down, right? You could do it. I've done it that way.
I wouldn't know where to begin to put the big lines.
You know, right, exactly. So I'll show you one other little cheat. my little secret here, okay? if you want a starting point, not that he'll give you all the individual things, but Jensen's survey of the New Testament actually breaks down every book in the New Testament. You know, with the different sections. Yeah, I'll send it out in an email. How's that? Okay? So you can cheat with this, which is fine, or you can do it on your own, whatever you feel comfortable with. I actually have some charts that I've gotten out of there that are very helpful. Okay. Any other questions? Good questions. There's no bad questions in this class. They're all good. Okay, let's go back to this and hit play. Okay. Okay, we're going to talk about concordance. I didn't bring it today. I got my weightlifting in. I didn't want any more weightlifting. So I want, by show of hands, how many of you have either used a Strong's Concordance or have one sitting in the corner? Raise your hand. Okay, so a lot of you have it. Do you still have it? How many of you use it regularly? Most people don't. So let me go through what a Strong's Concordance is, then I'll show you what you can do with your cell phone, iPad, Android, PC, whatever, right? Because it's built in to the Bible programs and makes things a lot easier. But again, I wish I had the pointer, but I guess I'm going to get some exercise. So I took one of the words in the book of Galatians, liberty, right? You probably saw that a few times in the book of Galatians as you were reading through it. So here's the word liberty in the Strong's Concordance. So what it gives you is all the places in the Bible that English word liberty shows up, right? And then what it'll do is it'll give you a little quote, a little portion of it. So proclaim, L, that's liberty, throughout all the land, Leviticus 25:10. It gives you a number on the right side. That's in the Old Testament, that's a Hebrew or Aramaic Strong's number. In the New Testament, typically they'll have them kind of on italics, right? And that is the Greek word, okay? So you can see every place in the Bible where the word liberty shows up. So for example, in Galatians 2:4, it mentions to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ, I believe it says. And that Greek word is 1657. Okay, so that's what a Strong's Concordance is. And actually, in the back of the Strong's Concordance, let's go to the next one. So what they'll have is they'll have a New Testament and Old Testament words. And so 1657, you see right there. It gives the Greek. It gives the meaning, which is liberty. They say freedom, but liberty, that's what it is. Okay. Some words, just as in English, some words have multiple meanings depending on the context, right? So that... this one's pretty easy. It's always liberty. But there's some words where you have to look at the context to really understand the meaning of the word. Anyway, so that's the Strong's Concordance. Let me show you this in a Bible program because I think it's a lot easier to use if you have a Bible program like eSword or MySword or Olive Tree or whatever you have, okay? But I just want to show you. So let me go to eSword. There we go. And let's do a search. All right. So we go up here, hit search. And actually, I already did it. I typed in liberty and did a search. So here you can see all the places. You just type it in and like that, up comes all the places that the word liberty shows up. The first reference to a word in the Bible usually has some significance to it. And this one's a really interesting one. Look at Leviticus 25:10, right? And you can look up in your Bible if that's hard to read. But it says, "And ye shall howl the 50th year and proclaim liberty through all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family." By the way, part of this is on the Liberty Bell. Did you know that? Our history is tied to the Bible. It's tied to the Bible. And it's so sad that people are trying to remove that history. Right? But anyway, I won't get into the politics. But our liberty comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes through the Word of God. And as we take the Word of God away from our country, we're losing our liberty.
Amen.
Okay? But that is the key right there. Liberty. Starts back in the book of Leviticus. And you can read more. I'm not going to read it all. Let's go down to... you should do your own study on this. Okay? If you got a Strong's Concordance, just get it out and start looking at how the word liberty is used in the Bible. You'll learn a lot from it. let's go down to Galatians. Let's see. Okay, Galatians. Whoop. There you go, Galatians 2:4. What I should have done is made the text bigger. Oh, by the way, the other nice thing this thing does is it shows you in the bottom all the places that this appears, what books and how many times, which is kind of nice. You know, for this, it's not that many times, so you can count it up yourself. But there's some places where you've got, you know, hundreds of times it shows up. You get tired counting those things. So this thing, what it'll do, let's look at the bottom here. This is really interesting. So it says in Leviticus there's one match, but let's see, where is it found the most? If you look at the right column, so sometimes the word shows up multiple times in a verse, right? And so it shows up the most in the book of Jeremiah, which is interesting. I wouldn't have suspected that. And then the next place is Galatians. So Galatians has a lot to do with liberty. A lot to do with liberty. Might be a good study. We'll see. If you've read it, you know why it has a lot to do with liberty. Anyway. Okay. Galatians 2. Let's look at some of the verses here. So Galatians 2:4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. So you've got this thing. One of the things in the book of Galatians, you've got contrast. Liberty, bondage. Liberty in Christ, bondage in the law. Right? If you read it, you know that's kind of the theme of this whole thing. Liberty in Christ, bondage in the law. Look at Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This is written by a man, Paul, who knew all about it. He kept the law as good as a human can, and he knew it was bondage. The law does not take away your sins. The law condemns you. Jesus Christ takes away your sins. He gives you that liberty in Christ. Let's see. And Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love one another. So yeah, you have liberty, but don't abuse it. Now that's the other extreme, right? You have liberty in Christ. You're not under the law, but don't say, oh, I can do anything I want now. No, you're under Jesus Christ. What does he want you to do? Anyway, okay. So the other thing you can do, I want to show you this, is not cross-references, though that's interesting. I'm sorry, let's go to Bible. And let's go to... this has what's called a compare mode, so you could, you know, compare. But what I use it for is, so you got the King James as the first one. This happens to be Acts 15, but it could be anywhere in the Bible. And then the next one, it shows you the Strong's numbers. So you see, here, I'll get up here. You can see this. You can see the Strong's numbers. So the word Todd is Greek 1321, et cetera, right? And what you can do is you can click on these things, which I'll do right now. Oh, what's a good one here? I don't know. Circumcised. Let's do that one just for the fun of it. And so it gives you the Strong's definition. So you can find this in your Strong's Concordance if you had it. I mean, it's pretty pretty obvious, circumcised. That's what it means, right? It always means circumcised. The next one's pretty interesting, though, the KJC. It's the King James Concordance. It'll tell you how it's translated in different places in the Bible. There's 18 occurrences in the King James, 13 times circumcised, 4 times circumcised, and 1 time circumcising, right? Different parts of speech, but the same word, okay? That can be useful. This word, it doesn't really help you a whole lot. It's always circumcised, right? But there's other words where it might be translated different depending on where you are, the context. Okay, what else does this thing have? Just while I'm at it, show you. Let's see. If you're in the Gospels, it'll actually give you a harmony of the Gospels. So it'll put up like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, depending on what you're reading, and tell you, show you the same thing that was happening, but in two different Gospels. So you have a harmony of the Gospels. There's a lot it can do. Anyway, you just get an idea of the study. And this is very quick. Anytime I want to look anything up, for example, let's go back to the, let's go back here to the search. Okay, any of these verses, I can go right to them. Let's go back to Bible. All right, it takes you right to it. Just click on it, you're right to that. You can look at it and go back to your search. You look at the context. Anyway, very, very nice, very easy to use. Okay, and if anyone wants help with this, I've already offered before service. Like tonight, before service, you want help, I'll help you. If you need some help, you know, just trying to set it up or figure out how to do these things. Okay, enough of that. Let's go back to this. Okay, so that was Strong's Concordance. You can use either the paper copy if you want, or you can use the Bible program. I like the Bible program, but, you know, that's me. okay, let's do this. Okay, let's go. Okay, here are some words. So the English language has changed. We talked about that. Plus, the King James Bible is written in England's English of that time. So, for example, one word, conversation. In Galatians 1:13, you can study this on your own. It's not speaking there. It's not talking about speaking. It's talking about how you live. Okay? The word changed meaning through time. If you looked at an 1828 dictionary, you'd see the same thing. But anyway, so there's other things here. The word save, you have to look at it in context, but it's essentially means accept, right, in modern English. Most of the time you can figure this out, right? Just kind of look at the context. I won't go through all of these, but you'll see some words. The last one's interesting, communicate. Oh, that means you're talking to someone. No, it talks about sharing, giving, distributing, okay? That's what, in that passage, what the word communicate means. The meaning has changed. Last week we talked about the word corn, right? That's another example. I'll give you another one, the word meat. The Bible talks about a meat offering, and it turns out to be grain. Why? Because the word meat for the English means food. Okay? Anyway, I think most of the time it's not a problem. You can figure it out. But we can do some studies of any of these words. What I did is I took some of these right from looking at equivalent words as in the King James Concordance. And it's very interesting to see how God uses that word throughout the Bible. So, anyway, okay, we'll go on. I like this. Okay, this is fun. So in that Bible program, what words are used the most? So what I did is I put in, you see up in the top left corner, the Galatians, right? Galatians chapter 1 through 6:18, the whole book of Galatians. I said, which words are used the most? Exclude common words, so I don't want any the, to, for, you know, whatever. The words that don't make a whole lot of difference, I want the key words from that. And this is what it came up with. You can choose the top 25, 50, 75, or 100. I chose the top 100. And then what it does is it puts them in this format. It also has a just a listing of the words, which is probably a little easier, but this kind of really illustrates what's going on, right? So it looks like Christ and God are pretty important in this book. That probably is true in most books in the New Testament that you read. But can you see what the next word is that's used a lot? Law. So if you want to know something about the law, the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, this book's got a lot on it. Paul will tell you a lot about it, what its proper use is, and how it was being abused. Then there's some other interesting things here. You know, you see faith. In fact, there's a contrast, right? There's the law, and there's faith. We're under faith. We're not under the law. We're under faith. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. Actually, let me go to... So this is interesting, but let's do it in the list. It got cut off, but... So here you just have the numbers. So you see law, faith, and then look at this, spirit and flesh. They're equal numbers. And that's a contrast, another contrast that God's saying. Are you living in the flesh or are you living by the spirit? Flesh versus spirit. A lot talked about there. Let's see, Jesus, man, one gospel. This book talks a lot about the gospel. We're going to do a study on that word gospel. I'm not going to do it this week, but one of these weeks we'll do it and talk about how the Bible uses the word gospel and the importance of the gospel. But Galatians really talks about how important it is. He says that if you preach any other gospel, you're accursed. Mm-hmm. Why? Because that sends people to hell. It is key. You better get the right gospel. There's a lot of false gospels going on out there. Abraham's talked a lot about in this book. So anyway, you can see some of that. I also put this, I think I have it here. No, let's do this. Yeah, it's down here. Sheet I gave out last week. I know this is small. And I'll blow it up here. There we go. Remember these questions? Here, let me zoom in. There you go. Well, at the bottom of that sheet, if you have that sheet, I put some of these words in the frequencies of those words. If you're getting bored, and, you know, you've already finished the first section, you know, the first column, and you've done that second column that, you know, fill that in, take one of these words and do a Bible study. Do a concordance study. Get in that concordance. Study it out. I probably wouldn't take Christ or God because that'll take a lot of work. They're good, but, you know. But take something that maybe flesh might be good, spirit, law, you know, whatever. You choose. But do a study on those. Okay? And that's what's called a word study. Right, we just kind of dig into what does God say in the Word of God about that. We'll do a word study on gospel, but you know, if you want to do something, get your concordance out and start using it. Okay, or maybe there's another word there that you'd be interested in studying. Okay, let's go back. Okay. Okay, remember those questions? One of the questions is, when did this book happen, right? What's the chronology, essentially? You know, what's the time frame of this? So we're going to get into this a little bit. This comes out of the book I showed you earlier, Jensen's Survey. But it's really a good overview of the time period. Okay, so it gives you the different dates. And I'll send this to you via email so you have all of this, right? But for right now, I just want to talk through this. So I think last week we talked about when Paul got converted. It was about 3 years after Christ's resurrection. And let's maybe get up my Bible. It'll probably be easier than me flipping back and forth. Let's look at Book of Acts. just kind of give you a little bit of a overview here. So the book of Acts is a very good place to kind of get the cross-references. Get the Acts with Galatians, you kind of get the whole picture, right? You don't get all of it from Acts, and you don't get all of it from Galatians. You put the two together, you've got the whole story. That plus other books. When does Paul get saved? Well, he gets saved in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And he's on his way to Damascus. Anybody know what country Damascus is in? Syria. There's a lot going on in Syria right now, by the way. There are a lot of Russians in Syria. Do you know that? A lot of Russians in Syria. The Russians have said that the Golan Heights does not belong to Israel. Have you heard that one? Things are warming up over there. Very quickly. Anyway. Anyway, he goes to Damascus. He is struck down. And the Lord appears to him and tells him to go to a guy named Ananias, verse 10 of chapter 9. And there, Ananias is used to heal him, right? And he gets his vision back, and he gets he gets saved, he gets baptized. You can read some of that in that section there. And look at verse 13. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And boy, did Paul suffer. Boy, I tell you, I don't know how many times he got stoned at, rocks. Got to say it right here. Yeah, that's amazing. Just one time is enough to kill you, right? And actually, he did die, but he came back to life. But he went through a lot of stuff. Anyway, he gets his sight back. He gets baptized after he's saved. And he immediately starts preaching. Look at verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul. By the way, that was Paul's name. His Jewish name is Saul. His Greek name is Paul. Anyway, so what was it say? Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Doesn't give the details of that. Galatians tells you more about what happened. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So here's the guy that's going to kill any Christian that, have him put in prison and eventually put to death. And now he's doing what he was trying to stop the others from doing, right? The Lord has given him a 180-degree change in life. And that's what the Lord does. The Lord changes people. He changes people. So he's preaching this. And what's the difference? What changed? He got to know Jesus Christ. There's some indication, and actually in the book of Galatians, hold your finger in there. Let's go to Galatians. You probably saw this. Galatians chapter 1, just to kind of get let's see. Oops, if I can get to the book of Galatians. There we go. Galatians 1. I'll start in verse 11. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." Paul got this stuff directly from Jesus Christ. Jesus spent after his resurrection and ascension, Jesus Christ spent some time with Paul. The only person I know that got that, okay? So the Lord taught him this. It says, "For I neither received it of man," verse 12, "neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation," there's that word that he's talking about his life before he was saved, "my conversation in the times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." So, Paul didn't get religion. He got salvation. He got a relationship with Jesus Christ. He had religion before. Anyway, keep going here. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Notice that, to reveal his son in me. Jesus Christ is in you. If you're saved, he's in you. And God, Jesus Christ can be revealed in you as God uses you, right? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But look at this. But I went into Arabia. Now, what did he do in Arabia? He doesn't give the details. I think he spent some time with Jesus. I think he got some training, some teaching. Because he didn't have the time that the other apostles had, right? Paul, or the other apostles, had been with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. Some of them. Paul, you know, he just gotten saved. But God wanted to use him in a special way. Goes on here. It says here, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, so he spent 3 years there in Arabia and Damascus. Doesn't give the details on how much time in each place, but three years. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. So in this chart right here, the first visit to Jerusalem, Moses said 3 years, right? So that's 36 if we use 33 as the date that he got saved. Yes?
Was James, now this has got me all mixed up.
Go ahead.
The Lord's brother James, was he one of the apostles? There's another James in there.
Right, there are other James. So he was not one of the original 12.
Okay.
He was like the pastor of the church there in Jerusalem.
Oh.
Okay. Does that, I don't know that, huh? Yeah. So it's interesting, you know, you think, oh, Peter, right? He's the first pope. but he's not the head of the church there, right? James is what the guy that was heading up the church. You'll read that in the book of Acts. But, yeah, so by the way, there are more than 12 apostles in the New Testament. There's the 12 that Jesus Christ, there's 12 Jewish apostles that God chose. But, you know, then there's Paul, who is Jewish, but he sent to the Gentiles, right?
Yeah.
So there's more than 12 apostles. There's 12 that Jesus Christ, while he was on this earth, ordained. One of them, you know, wasn't saved, right? He was there's a whole other story on Judas, but anyway, so Paul is yet another apostle, and there's a few other people that are mentioned as apostles. So anyway, does that help? And there's a lot of James in the Bible, so you have to keep your James straight.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, let's see, where was I? Okay, right, so he was with Peter for 15 days, but verse 19, but other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now, and by the way, so there it says that James is an apostle, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of answers it. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. So Cilicia was where he was originally from. That's where Tarsus, right? So he went back to his hometown. If you read the book of Acts, they kind of sent him there. Paul was so zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ that they were worried that there'd be even more persecution. So they sent Paul back to his home. Go preach over there, you know, because Paul was quite a preacher. Anyway, verse 22, and it was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. He's giving his testimony. He's talking about, here's how God worked in his life, right? And then chapter 2, verse 1, we'll read this and then we'll go back to Acts. Then 14 years after, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And there's a reason why he did this. Let's read verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So he was preaching the gospel, and he wanted to make sure that he wasn't, that everything was in sync, right? He'd gotten it from the Lord, but he wanted to make sure that Peter and the other apostles understood what was going on. Because there was, well, let's go to the book of Acts and we'll see some of the stuff that was going on. And we're going to skip a few chapters here. Let's start in Acts 11, verse 25. Just to kind of get a little bit of the background so you understand the book of Galatians. It says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So this is Antioch in Syria. There's multiple Antiochs. This is the one in Syria. So here they're preaching. There's Gentiles getting saved. But let's see. Verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one among them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it by the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. By the way, this reminds me a little bit of what's going on in Ukraine right now. There are Christians in Ukraine that are suffering pretty bad. And it's a real blessing. Cameron Knob, some of you know that. He's been on they've had him on our local stations. But they've been getting supplies into Ukraine, right? Yeah. And so the Christians back then did the same thing. You know, in this case, it was just a famine. And people needed food, so they helped each other. Anyway, that just kind of reminds me of that. If you skip chapter 12... Let's see. No, actually, look at the... I just want to skip some of this because I want to really get the background to Galatians. Look at chapter 12, verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. And then in chapter 13, what you have is you have the beginning of the first missionary trip that Paul takes. He takes it with Barnabas, and he takes it with John Mark. At least John Mark goes part of the way. Okay, and where do they go? Any guesses where they might have gone? Galatia. So this is where you find out more about these Galatian churches. Okay, is in chapters 13 and 14. Actually, at the beginning, he goes to the island of Cyprus, but after that, he's heading up to Galatia, okay, and preaching the gospel there. And if you start, I'm not going to read all of this, there's a lot to it, but you start in verse 13 of chapter 13. It says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. So there's one of the first churches. And went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So Paul's thing was to go into the synagogue, preach the gospel, and you'll find that sometimes the Jews would receive it, sometimes they didn't. And then he'd go to the Gentiles and preach to them. And it has this sermon. I'm not going to read it, but I encourage you to read this because you'll get an idea of what Paul was preaching to the Galatians. Let's skip down here. I just want to... It's quite a sermon, actually. And look at verse 38, just to, here's the end, here's the conclusion of the sermon. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Oh boy. See, that's going to get the Jews upset. Okay? And this is really the start of a lot of the things that happen in the Galatian churches right here. He's saying, you know, you can't get justified by the law. The law doesn't do it. You need Jesus Christ. He'll cleanse you from all your sins. Verse 40, beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish, for I work in your days, a work which ye shall no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So these are Galatian Gentiles, right? And they want to hear the gospel. Better pay attention to the time here. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Wow. What if all of Brockport or all of Hilton came to hear the word of God, right? Verse 45, but here's where the problem starts. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be first been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And he goes on. And then you read in chapter 14, he goes to these other cities, to Iconium, which is in Galatia, and to Lystra. And let's see, I think it's in Lystra. He is actually stoned. Verse 19, and there came, 14:19, and there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. And I think he was dead. But the Lord brought him back to life. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city. He went right back. Which is amazing. Maybe he was hoping, come on, do it again. Maybe this time it'll stick. Oh, anyway. He rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And then he returns to Antioch. So he preaches the gospel. He goes back to these churches. Let's see. Let's look at verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this is not the great tribulation, but Christians have been persecuted throughout the ages. Anyway, when he gets back, I want to show you this. Go to Acts 15:1, because this really is where what you're reading in the book of Galatians is Acts 15:1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. You get that? You've got to become a Jew before you can get saved. That's what they were teaching. And that's what Paul's dealing with in the book of Galatians. Okay? Then there's others who said, well, once you get saved, you better keep the law, you know? So there's like two groups. One said, you got to be circumcised, you got to start following the Jewish law, then you can be saved. No, false. Both of them are false doctrines. And that's what the book of Galatians is all about. I better stop. So keep doing the study. Maybe if you've done the first column, do the second column. If you feel really brave, do the third column. Whatever, you know, it's up to you. If you're really bored, do a word study, okay? And then next week we'll continue with more ideas for studying the Word of God. And I should have asked for blessings. How about this? Next week, keep those blessings. Tell me any blessings or things God showed you. Okay? I didn't give you a chance to do that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, so much for your Word. I thank you for the blessings, Lord, of just how this all fits together, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you continue just to teach us and help us to learn your word and just to give us encouragement from it, Lord. We thank you so much, Father, for that, that we have something that many, even Christians back in the first century, wish they would have had. And it's a blessing to be able to carry the Bible and to read it. Pray, Father, that you bless the service and the singing and everything that follows. In Jesus' name, amen.